But the truth is, when I see how Jesus worked in the Gospels, Jesus didn't preach to non-believers very often, actually at all. Instead, he focused his efforts on walking alongside the non-Jews of the day, right? And, and we think about the stories like the woman at the well, right? We think about the centurion who actually approached Jesus, right? Jesus was going to go to his house. He says, no, I know what authority is. You don't have to go to my house. And so Jesus said, man, I've never seen a man with this faith. Jesus didn't spend a lot of time preaching to people who believed in all these different gods. He focused his preaching on the people who were open. And instead, he did miracles and he walked alongside the people who were closed. And this, for me, is a really important distinction when we think about the ministry and this discipline of evangelism.
We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalyst. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy to remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me for this, the 28th episode of the Catalytic Podcast. I am so glad that you're with me. My name is Mike Falkenstein. In addition to being the host of this podcast, I'm also the president and founder of our ministry that we like to call 1-8 Catalyst. If you do not know about 1-8 Catalyst, please be sure to go to our website at 1-8catalyst.org to find out more about what we're doing, who we are, and what we're about. And I'm so glad that you're with me for the 28th episode. This is actually the third episode in a series of videos that I'm doing on the spiritual disciplines of a follower of Jesus. And, you know, the spiritual disciplines have just been so crucial to me in my own walk with Christ. And I felt like, you know, for season two, this would be a good way to start this season to talk about the spiritual disciplines. And I've been so thrilled to have a long-term guest who has committed to the first five episodes of season two to be with me. So I've got Tony Miltenberger with me. And, you know, Tony and I are one of those guys. We have this kind of this relationship where we have never met each other face-to-face. We only know each other online, and I've just been so thrilled to get to know him. He's a guy who definitely wants to make disciples that make disciples, which is a very similar heart to mine, so we have a similar heart for these kinds of things. And so when I asked him to join me, he was thrilled to do it, and I was just thrilled. I'm, of course, thrilled to have him, and I think you'll see why as you listen to this episode. So a couple of notes, if you haven't been listening to the previous episodes, be sure to go back to at least episode 25 of the podcast, and that'll kind of catch you up with, you know, the beginning of season two. This episode in particular is about the spiritual discipline of evangelism. And, you know, evangelism is important for a number of reasons, of which we talk about on the episode itself. And, you know, for the disciple of Jesus, being able to adequately tell your story of how you came to know Christ and what Jesus has done in your own life and what Jesus has done on the cross is just absolutely essential. So thank you again for joining me. If you want to learn more about Tony, I'll go ahead and say this now. He has a website, and it's just twmilt.com, and then that leads you to, you know, he's involved with a couple of podcasts. He was actually a full-time pastor until, you know, 2 or 3 months ago. He's now since gone to work with a couple of nonprofits, and so I would just really encourage you to find out more about him, what he's doing. Listen, subscribe to the other podcasts as well, and so yeah, I would really highly encourage that. Thank you again for being with us, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much again for joining us for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. I'm Mike Falkenstein, and I'm here again with Tony Miltenberger in Ohio. And Tony, I'm so glad that you're with us for this series on the spiritual disciplines. And so we've just last week talked about kind of the quiet time, that time in God's word and in prayer. And we're going to talk today about evangelism. And I think this is an important spiritual discipline. And it's certainly one that, I mean, that's kind of something that God and Christ in particular, you know, has clearly given us some instruction to be doing, right? And so I'm wondering if you were to define evangelism as a spiritual discipline, what would that definition look like?
Yeah, I would say that evangelism as a spiritual discipline is the intentional act of being around and sharing your faith with non-Christians.
That's great. And so for you, it would include kind of that sort of what we may call a testimony, which would be kind of the story of how we came to know the Lord, and then communicating the story of the gospel itself?
Yes and no. I'm going to give a soft yes, right? Because what I think the most important part about evangelism is actually just being around non-Christians. I think most church people that we know today are so insulated with Christians, which is great. And I love the fellowship of believers. And before you send Mike a bunch of hate mail, I'm not saying that we shouldn't, right? Like what I'm just suggesting is that if we want to evangelize, we have to be intentional about surrounding ourselves with people who don't know Christ. And then ideally our witness and our testimony is not something that we have to say, but rather a life lived out.
That's right. And so it sounds like, Tony, you're kind of talking about, I don't know if you've heard, there's a book that I often recommend. In fact, just yesterday, as I was teaching a Sunday school class, I mentioned this book called The Art of Neighboring. And The Art of Neighboring is really just sort of, it's two Christian pastors who wrote a book about just how to be good at reaching your neighbors. And their recommendation is that very first, just kind of be outside in your neighborhood more often, right? And as you see neighbors, you're just getting to know their story as you introduce yourself and being intentional about getting to know them. And then, of course, what ends up happening is as we're getting to know their story, they're going to ask us about ours. And Tony, neither you or I can talk about our story without talking about, you know, what Christ has done in our lives. And that's going to come out very naturally because we're in this process of kind of getting to know each other. And so it sounds kind of like that's, am I right? That's kind of what you're talking about. It's just kind of being intentional of kind of getting to know non-Christians and get to know their story.
Certainly. I think of the book by Robert Coleman, Master Plan of Evangelism.
That's a good one too.
It's one of the books that I recommend for all the guys that I'm discipling, and something that I read pretty often with people because it's a relational based approach to evangelism. And I love preaching. Preaching is one of my favorite things to do. I was in the local church for 10 years. And if given the opportunity, I want to preach. But the truth is, when I see how Jesus worked in the Gospels, Jesus didn't preach to non-believers very often, actually at all. Instead, he focused his efforts on walking alongside the non-Jews of the day, right? And we think about the stories like the woman at the well, right? We think about the centurion who actually approached Jesus, right? Jesus was going to go to his house. He says, no, I know what authority is. You don't have to go to my house. And so Jesus said, man, I've never seen a man with this faith. Jesus didn't spend a lot of time preaching to people who believed in all these different gods. He focused his preaching on the people who were open, and instead he did miracles and he walked alongside the people who were closed. And this for me is a really important distinction when we think about the ministry and this discipline of evangelism.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. And you are right. I think about our churches today. Occasionally you might get some non-believers who would come in to the church and you know, hear a sermon. But certainly, I think there may be a more strategic way to think about that rather than just trying to get them to come to church is to try to be walking alongside, you know, people who otherwise would not go into a church. And I know in not only my own neighborhood, but then others that I know who have done this well, whether it's your neighborhood or people you work with or, you know, whatnot, you know, I'm actually finding these days a lot of people who maybe in some ways have been burned by the church or they've heard bad things or they had a bad experience and they kind of, you know, they've kind of backed away. And so, or maybe they've had a history in their family. They were churchgoers as kids. And so in other words, you're probably not going to get many of those people ever to a church. And so to just be walking alongside them, begin asking about their lives, really with no judgment, right? Hopefully having eventually the relationship is building where you can have backyard barbecues and things where you're just kind of walking alongside. And so I would assume you agree with me, Tony, but I've often said this process of relationship building as it relates to evangelism is kind of a long-term game, isn't it? I mean, it might be years, and that's okay because you've got years, hopefully, Lord willing. And what would you say about kind of long-term versus short-term?
I'll say this is that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that that really kind of goes back to help reinforce this idea about long-term evangelism. Now, if you've ever been to a sporting event, and today as we record this, it happens to be the day of the national championship game, football national championship, go Dogs, as I see you are wearing a Bulldog sweatshirt. Yeah,
that's right.
I hate Alabama. So again, send all hate mail to Mike at Catalyst18. Anyway, so but undoubtedly today there is going to be a very enthusiastic Christian who's going to stand on a corner outside of the stadium, and they are going to be yelling at people to repent. And I am all for the message of repentance.
That's
right. For me, delivery means everything. And I just have seen very few people converted when somebody shakes a Bible and yells at them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I would agree with that. That's really true. And so, instead of that, you know, being intentional in developing relationships, I think is a better way to go, isn't it?
I do. And I think as we talk about evangelism, we have to look at a little bit of the why. Why is evangelism important? The why is as important is reminds us of the story from Exodus 32. It's the story of the golden calf. Mm. Well, outside of Christianity and even inside Christianity, we all have these idols in our lives. And so why do we build idols? We don't build idols because we want to spite God, but rather we make idols because we lose sight of God. And so that's an important distinction, right? We're not out here building idol around college or pro football because we're trying to make God mad. Just like the Israelites didn't build that idol, the golden calf, because they were trying to make God mad. They just lost sight of who God was.
Mm.
And so then our job as evangelists, as Christian evangelists, is to bring God in to the discussion. It's to bring God into the equation. It's to remind people that God exists in the world and God is actively pursuing you. You, the listener, you, the friend, you, the neighbor. And so if you want to blow up the idols in the world, it's not to stand on the outside and point at them and say, stop doing that. The goal has to be to get inside the idol and blow it up from the inside out by changing hearts.
Yeah, that's right. And certainly that's done best, I would think, by building a friendship, right? And building a relationship, for sure. Well, Tony, we are having a fantastic conversation. I'm so glad that you were willing to join me to talk about evangelism. You are a definite benefit to the podcast. I'm really glad that you're here. And so, Tony, let's take a little break. And when we come back, we are going to talk a little bit more about the nuts and bolts of actually... Okay, we've been developing these relationships with non-believers, with people who maybe do not yet know Jesus, what are the next steps, right? Like, how do we actually then really share the gospel? You know, there's a couple of tools that we can use if we're interested. So thank you all for joining us for this episode. Hang tight for just a minute. We're going to let Tom Mueller say a few words, and we'll be right back.
At 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources to help you find great commission fulfillment. Our latest book resource is titled, What You Do Shows Who You Are, a book on the six marks of a disciple of Jesus. We believe that this book is a great way for you to grow spiritually and then take that growth and share it with others. Intended to be a small group or Sunday school class study, we believe that spiritual growth happens best as you work through each of the six marks with a group of other believers. Be sure to get a copy for each of the folks in your small group today. Available on Amazon.com.
I'm curious, Tony. So we talk about, you know, the importance of that and being intentional, but I'm curious what you think about, and this might be a good, certainly something I would want to include. So we've been building relationships with people and getting to know their story and being intentional in that area. And then it comes to the time where we have the opportunity to share, you know, this story about Jesus, the gospel story. I'm curious, in that context, as we've been intentional in his relationships, what do you think is the best way to do that? I know there are a lot of people, like as a former Navigator staff, I use the bridge illustration a lot. I've actually just run across another similar type of an illustration called the Three Circles. Of course, you know, Campus Crusade, now called Crew, has a little tool that, you know, the four spiritual laws, and you may not use any of that as you share the gospel, but I'm curious, what do you recommend to people and what do you do when it kind of comes to that point of, okay, I actually get to share now. I mean, this relationship is strong enough to carry the weight of the gospel. What is your process there?
Yeah, I being trained by a Navigator, I tend to use the bridge illustration if I'm going to use a bridge illustration.
Okay.
I also will just tell my story. I'll tell my story about how Christ transformed me. And then I'll take them to usually the Gospel of John, John 3:16. Most people have heard it before. And then I'll just talk a little bit about how Christ wants to transform your life. And are you open to the life of Christ that he has promised you? And, you know, and then we can kind of work from there. And that typically, if we're at that point already, usually seals the deal.
That's great. That's great. So at times you're using the bridge, but then sometimes not. And it is true. You can just use, I mean, because really the bridge illustration or, you know, any of these illustrations are just a tool to be able to bring out scripture, right? I'm trying to do the math now. There's, you know, 8 or 9 scripture verses that generally you memorize when you do the bridge illustration. And, and so it's really just a way to kind of bring out the scripture itself. And so, yeah, I like your approach. I think for those of you that aren't familiar with what we're talking about, you know, there, I would recommend in this process of evangelism, having some kind of a game plan, generally, as you get to this point of being able to share not only the reason for the hope that you have in Christ, which we would call more your testimony, but then also how that person directly can, you know, understand what Christ has done in their for them on the cross, offers forgiveness and eternal life. And so you can Google search any of those that we've mentioned and just pick one that, you know, and in fact, on YouTube, there are instructional videos on, you know, how to use those tools. But Tony, generally, would you agree with that? I mean, it's kind of nice to know going in what tool you're going to use or what story you're going to tell, isn't it?
Yeah. And again, because I'm doing relational evangelism, I'm not often, you know, blindsided by an opportunity to share the gospel, right? So like I'm going into the relationship intentionally, relationally, and in a way that hopefully is reproducible. And then, you know, to kind of piggyback off that, I'm also not leaving them there. Right. So I'm also going to make sure that I can walk alongside them going forward, or I have somebody to disciple them. Right. Baptism isn't the, you know, that proclamation of faith isn't the the mountain, it's the base. So when we talk about transformation, you know, if I mess up the gospel presentation and the Holy Spirit still does the work, that's fine. We're going to have an opportunity to walk alongside them in their journey of faith as they continue.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I often mention a story of that very thing happening. So early in my career with the Navigators, and hopefully this is an encouragement for those listening, early in my career with the Navigators, you know, we were discipling college students. And so in teaching them how to use the bridge, we do evangelism in the dorms. And this one student that we thought had the bridge illustration down, we were watching her share the gospel through the bridge. And she just absolutely just like messed it up. Like none of the verses were in the right place. I
love it.
And yet it was just really cool to see, because the student that she was sharing with, it was, oh, so what you're saying is, you know, Christ died on the cross. And I mean, he had it in his mind all correct, even though, you know, she, and so certainly, I guess the point there is we want to have these tools. We want to be able to have a plan. We want to know what we're talking about, and certainly have the story of, you know, the gospel figured out for ourselves. But at the end of the day, it really is a work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? I mean, it really is something that that he's going to do. So, so Tony, in just the few minutes we have left, let's just talk about, just to give people kind of the rest of the story, which I would think would be, okay, we've been developing this relationship with these folks, non-Christians. We've been able to share the gospel. You know, I think a lot of times, I think campus ministries in particular, you know, need to work harder at this, but this is true of us all, that we just don't want to leave that person there. Okay, just got this new relationship with Jesus. Let's say they accepted Christ. In your mind, what are those next kind of, you kind of alluded to it, but once someone does accept Christ, there's some steps that go beyond that, isn't there?
Yeah, I would always say that we want to walk alongside them and show them what exactly transformation looks like now because of it, right? So, all right, hey, you accepted Christ on Tuesday, and we're going to get together next week and talk about it. How different because you've accepted Christ. And then I might go to the assurance verses and some of those kind of tools that I have in my toolbox, you know, my disciple making toolbox on what, you know, what's next. I'll, you know, maybe start a quiet time with them, as we've talked about before, teach them how to pray, use some of those things to help begin to build that muscle of faith.
That's great. So really, we can say after that initial, you know, accepting Christ, this is where discipleship actually kind of begins, right?
I mean, yeah, that's really right.
We begin kind of helping them to walk through, you know, some of these things. And then hopefully, again, if we're following the 2 Timothy 2:2 principle, hopefully eventually those people will be able to do that same thing with others as well. Right. Uh-huh. So, well, Tony, as we end this episode, I'm curious, any final thoughts about evangelism, anything we've talked about, what would be your final advice for folks?
To the Christians listening, I want to challenge you. Take some time to evaluate who you're surrounding yourself with. Mm. And if there's no non-Christians in your circle, you're not drawing a big enough circle.
That's great. Yeah, I would second that for sure. In our ministry, you know, we've got a series of these t-shirts that we've done. And the one that we are just getting ready to do says something about be missional today, walk your dog. And yeah, kind of this idea is, hey, you just need to be outside. And so that would kind of be my final advice. I mean, just sort of set yourself up. I mean, if you're in a place where, I mean, we're actually really fortunate here in Colorado, although we do have some colder weather, you know, we have very dry air. It's very nice to be outside. And so just be outside and get to know your neighbors. And yeah, I mean, it's sort of a piggyback off of yours. In addition to widening your circle, in Matthew 22, when Jesus gives us kind of this greatest commandment, he says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor and your as yourself. And maybe he actually means the actual people that are, you know, living right next to you as your neighbors, you know, so that's really good. Well, Tony, thanks again. I know that there's kind of one main way people can get in touch with you if they if they want to, isn't it? They just search on any really social media, can't they? Just this TW Milt, is that right?
Yeah, at TW Milt takes you to my website, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of it.
That's great.
TWMILT.
Great. And I would recommend people do that. You're going to find content. He's got two podcasts he's doing, of which I'm a fan of both of them. They're really good. It's good content. So, Tony, thanks again for talking through these spiritual disciplines with me.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate it. Love being on the show.
Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 18catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.